This morning, our scripture lesson is all about being lost and found. These are important stories in Luke chapter 15 for us, and I hope you'll go back and look at them. This morning, interestingly, our Sunday school class was talking about this chapter, and this is an important chapter for us as a church right now. I believe for all churches it's important, but especially for us. These are important words to listen to and hear and wonder how the Spirit of God is speaking to us about what this means for us. Hear the word of the Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." And then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' And so he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But he was still far off. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And he replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he's got him back safe and sound.' And then he became angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen. For all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" And this is the word of the Lord. I thought I knew what I was doing. I was fed up with my life. I was tired of the same old. Are you ever that way? Just tired of the same old, same old. You wouldn't believe my older brother every day, he was out there working, doing what my father told him to do. And I tried working with him. I really did. He started telling me what to do, and I could not take it anymore. I did the unthinkable. I took what was mine, and I left. I took my share of the estate. I'll never forget that day. Walking down that long road away from my father, I left, and I was one happy soul. Went on down that road and crossed the border into the next country and into the city. That's how far I went. I went all the way into the city, and man, did I have a fine time there. Everybody there was my friend. I mean everybody. And the food was delicious, and the drink was free-flowing, and the women were beautiful, and they were gorgeous. And I was having the time of my life. Now, it would be wrong not to tell you, I enjoyed myself. I really did. In all the wrong ways, I had the time of my life. And I was amazed how many people came around. I was a toast of the town. It made my head spin. And everybody wanted to be with me, and I was spending money like never before. And in the middle of it all, I thought to myself, so this is what the good life is like. So this is what it is. And I looked around, and I was having a big time, and I made some friends gambling who wanted me to go in with them on a big deal. And I was coming up on the last of my money, and I wanted to take them up on it. And I had plans to get a job. I really did have plans to get a job. And suddenly, the famine hit. And it had to do with the weather, and it had to do with the farmers, and it had to do with the merchants and the markets, and everything stopped. Now people knew I had a little money. And everyone came to me to borrow. And then I had no more left. And suddenly there was nothing. And when people learned I had nothing, they all went away. And I turned to them, and nobody knew me. I was cut to the heart. I couldn't believe it. I tried everywhere to borrow something to stay afloat. No one, nothing, no one. And I got a job with one of those farmers, and he gave me a job out in his fields, and it was responsible. I mean, really, it was. However, with everyone leaving, the only way I could keep my job was to go out there and feed the pigs. I had to get out there among the pigs myself and feed them. And there I was in the middle of all those pigs, and I felt like I was no better than one of the pigs. And I had lost all that money, all of my family's money. I'd lost it. And there I was looking at that pig, and he was hungry, and so was I, and we were both looking at the slop. And I remembered some of the men working for my father, and I remembered the men by name, and I thought about what they were doing right at that moment. And it was late afternoon, and it was the time for the dinner bell to ring, and they would stop their work, and they would go in and get cleaned up for dinner. And there I was in that awful place, filthy, smelly with those pigs, thinking about those field hands getting clean. And they had clean, good food, and here I was with the pigs. Right then, I began to pretend that I was talking to my father. Began to pretend, feeding those pigs. I started giving a speech for my father, and I started to practice what I might say to him, and I did that for a while. And then one day, I just left. On that day, I didn't get my supper. I didn't get my pay. I just left. I started walking, and I spent several nights on the road, and I started walking every day and night and two or three nights to get back to the familiar country. And I will never forget as long as I live when I saw my father. He was on the hill, and I started running, and he started running, and I was crying and crying, and so was he, and I fell into his arms. I started saying what I'd said to those pigs, and he stopped me. "You are my son," he said. "You were lost, and now you are found, thank God." And he held me so tight, and I didn't care. And he started jabbering about a feast and calling everyone together, and all I knew was that I was glad to see him. And I'm more grateful than I can possibly tell you. I'll spend the rest of my days trying to make up for my stupidity and the suffering I caused my father and my family. I believe I'm now ready to get back to work. And I know you don't believe me. I'm now ready to get busy doing hard work and learn from my older brother. I can't even believe I'm telling you that, but I'm going to learn from my older brother and father about the things I need to be doing that can make our family proud. I know you don't believe me, but I'll show you. I'm going to show you. I'm the one who stayed at home. No one ever paints my picture. My story is not the focus of anyone's attention. I stayed at home. And everybody knows my younger brother. His sorry account gets everybody's ear. I stayed at home, and I worked. Week after week after weary week, there was no far-off country for me. There was no big city for me. There were no women for me. I knew there was too much to do. There's too much to lose. I never had the luxury of taking anything and going anywhere to do what I wanted to do. I married a woman from these parts, and my father knew her father, and he knew their people, and they're good people. They are good people to this day. And they work hard, and she works hard, and it didn't take long for us to get married. And we knew what we were getting into, and she knew the kind of work I'd be doing, and she knew what she was doing when she got married. You know what I mean? We lost one child, and we had two. They're good kids. We don't have a real exciting story to tell. We love each other. My father owns everything, and I've come to know what I needed to do to make all of this work, and one day I thought this would all be mine. And now my younger brother, who took his share, by the way, months ago, he's come home, and now they're all acting like he's done nothing wrong. They're all acting like we're all together again. And I remember the day he left. People were angry. My father was angry and worried. And he started going out on that hill every day. Every day, dear God in heaven, he went out there every day. And he prayed. And he talked about my brother. And I think he forgot about me. And I kept working. Does that count for anything? So what I did, does that count for anything? You would think it doesn't count for a blame thing. The only thing that matters is that my little brother's home. Whoop-de-doo. Little brother has finally come to his senses. And if you ask me, he'll never come to his senses. Always cared a little too much for the parties and for the girls and for everyone's attention. You know people like that. I know you know people like that. It's always the best of everything. Now he's in everyone's good graces. Your brother has come home, and they're all killing the fatted calf. Now, don't you want to come to the party? Come to the party. Are you kidding me? There's no party for me. There's only work. Work is what I believe in, not forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? What are you going to do? Here comes my father right now. And he's going to invite me to the party. What do you think I need to do? What would you do? It's interesting that this brother is the elder brother. It's where we get the name Presbyterian from. In the Greek, Presbyterian is presbyteros, elder. Now, if you're a mother or father, you care about both of these boys. You care about both of them. You love them equally, but one of them has caused you more worry. One of them has sent you to your knees more than you ever wanted. One of them stayed home and worked with you. And one of them did exactly as you wanted. And you know this family. You know what this is like. But read the first few verses of this chapter again, as I read to us all. Jesus cared about the tax collectors and the sinners, and he found an opening being with them in their taverns and in their homes. He found an opening in their lives to bring them the kingdom of God, to bring them the grace and love and compassion of God. The Pharisees were another story. The scribes were another story. They grumbled and they complained, and they were forever calling on Jesus when he broke the law. Forever. This fellow welcomes sinners and he eats with them. Well, God is throwing a party. And God wants you and me to care about this younger son. And God wants you and me to care about this elder son. And God wants you and me to bring them all into this party. The truth of the story is we have younger sons all among us and elder sons all among us too. The younger son is more ready than the other to come and return to what he almost lost. Now, the elder brother, he's a challenge. That part of elder brother in all of us, that's a challenge. He's done his job. He keeps on working, but he's nowhere near near getting with the rest of us. He doesn't look like he's going to any party. Now, what's it going to take? He has a story to tell, and I believe he needs our attention and he needs our compassion. We need to sit there like this father and we need to listen to him. Because somewhere in his work ethic, he lost his way. Because he's a prodigal just as much as the younger brother is. The good news is that Jesus loves both of these sons. And he has invested himself in you and me here at Meadow Lake to bring these two to the party. And we need this family together. Now, what is it going to take for all of us? We want to grow as a congregation. What is it going to take for us to have the compassion to listen to this guy and to receive his brother as well? Amen. Let us pray.